Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Hey, I want to welcome you to this particular program where I'm sharing with you insights about one of the greatest gifts that God has given to our times in the church. And that great gift is St. John Paul II. So on his feast day, to offer some reflections about him, his feast day is on Tuesday, the 22nd. So honoring that, I want to share with you just some thinking about that. And I'm going to focus in on two themes that carry a central importance in his writings, in his spirituality, and frankly, how he lived his life prior to becoming Pope as the bishop, Archbishop of Krakow, and then also just as a priest, especially in his service to college students.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
So much of his life was wrapped around some fundamental themes that have come out into the open and honestly things that he's really famous for. And in particular, it became famous for because of his theology of the body, as that teaching spread around the world. It is something that highlighted, it became an opportunity to bring out into the open an aspect of his teaching on the person. And in fact, the theology of the body, it can be traced back to an even more fundamental theme in his writings than his reflections on the body. And that's his reflections on the person. So I'm going to begin this sharing with a prayer, and then I'm going to dive in with you to share some of the ways that St. John Paul II was a gift from God to my life. And then I want to share with you some of the themes that are in his writings that I hope will be a gift from God for your life today. And so let's begin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, good and gracious God, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' holy name for the gift of St. John Paul II. And Lord, I ask today through his sweet and powerful intercession that we would learn to be reverent and docile to the Holy Spirit. Lord, give us the eyes to see who it is that is in front of us and the people that we come into contact with every day. And I pray, Lord our God, for an increased acknowledgement of the dignity of every human being created in the image of God. I pray for all of those who are sharing with me this moment, participating with me. I ask, Lord, that they would come to know, that you, dear brothers and sisters, would come to know in a fresh and new way and in a more profound way the gift that you are, the gift that God has designed you to be, the gift that is unique and precious and singular, that no one else is going to bring to this world in the way that you bring it. I pray, Lord, that my brothers and sisters who are connecting with me through this, that each of them would come to know this truth more profoundly, and would shine it forth more brightly to accomplish, Lord, the work of your kingdom coming, the work of the gospel being spread, for the work of salvation to be advanced. And I make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when did you come to appreciate the life and ministry and teaching of St. John Paul II? I would say for most of us, it was probably once he became Pope. And that was true for me as well. He became Pope when I was 13 years old. And he was somebody that I had the beautiful opportunity to study when I was in college. I had a philosophy course on the human person. And the principal work that we studied as sort of the capstone of the semester was The Acting Person by St. John Paul II. It's probably his most famous extended work of philosophy. And it's definitely at the mature end of his writings on the human person. And that is something that has fundamentally shaped how I live my life, and in some ways has been an indicator, a pointer, if you will, in my own life to the answer to the question, what message were you created for? Isn't that a cool question? I want you to stop and think about that for your lives. If I said, what would be a message that is like important to you? Like not just any like a generic message or even something that would be just purely at the worldly level, but something that is deeply meaningful to you, right? So it might be always live with a heart full of gratitude, something like that. Or it might be strive always to be generous and merciful, or trust the Lord with all your heart and rely not on your own understanding, right? So that it might be a scripture, it might be an inspirational phrase or a quote. And that can become a way of saying, I feel like that message is like ingrained in my heart. That message is ingrained in my life. And that's not a bad thing. I do think there's a way in which, if you will, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And there's a way in which God's word can take so deep a root in our lives that it then somehow shines forth. It manifests itself in how we live and approach our day-to-day lives. And so for me, as I ponder, like what would be a word from God? What would be a inspirational key that is a touchstone for my life? And I can say very quickly and easily that that word and that, let's call it the central message of my own life, has come from John Paul II, from St. John Paul II. And it was what I refer to, and this is sort of my own welcoming of his message into my life, is what I learned in that class on the human person. What I was taught and then began to reflect on and explore more fully and live more deeply and reflect over the course of years and decades. I would speak about it. I would come back around to it, reflect on it some more, find ways that it applied, correct and purify my thinking, study other people on it. And then it would come and take a deeper root in my life, right? So that's the kind of activity that I'm talking about, that whether it's a scripture that becomes ever more deeply embedded in your life, or whether it is a message from a God-sent teacher like St. John Paul II, what was the message that you were created for? What is the message that God is authoring in your life? Isn't that, I like that phrase, God is authoring, God is the author. Right? It's in the church's teaching, God is the author of marriage. Isn't that beautiful? God is the author of marriage. And if you're married, I want you to hear it like this, that God, in bringing you together with your spouse, your husband, your wife, he brought you together, yes, for the sanctification and the salvation of each of you and the holiness, the growing in sanctity of any children God would give you. But there's also a way in which when God brought you together, he was authoring not just another marriage that would give rise to, if you were blessed with children, but God wants to write and express a message that is made for this world, made for our time, through your married life. Through how you live your married life, God is making a truth that is a truth of our faith, allowing it to shine forth with a particular brilliance that is what you can bring out into the open by how you live your married life. So take that concept that God is the author of marriage, excuse me, and apply it backwards to your own life. And so for me, I said this came from St. John Paul II and came from that class that I learned and then all these years of reflection, and it was on the meaning of being a person. What does it mean to be a person? And yes, we immediately say a person created by God, but if you reflect on what it means that you're a human being, that you're a person, a human person, and you have this human nature, and you're alive walking around right now, how are we to understand and evaluate who you are, what that means? John Paul II says that there's a word, and this word is back all the way into the scriptures, and it flows through our Catholic tradition. There's a word that is appropriate for mining the depths of what it means to be a person created by God. And that word that he uses is gift. To be a person is to be a gift. Now, if you are alive in the time that, in the last few decades like I have, you've grown up in a time and a season where there is an emphasis on gifts, put an S on that. This person has so many gifts. Or if there's an identification that, wow, you are such a gift, it's probably because of the gifts that they have and how they've been using those gifts to some good effect. Now, is that a bad thing? No, not at all. It's not a bad thing, but John Paul II is going for something deeper. And the deeper truth is this, is that you're not a gift as a person because you have gifts. Well, instead, it's you have gifts, you have these attributes and these qualities and these capabilities that can be meaningfully utilized and have a powerful impact in the world because you are a gift. Gifts you have. A gift is who you are. Okay, so let's ponder that a little bit. So, all right, John Paul II says I'm a gift. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, there are two layers or levels to St. John Paul II's gift message. And I'm going to lay out in a rather brief way what it means when John Paul II says that you are a gift. I'll draw out a couple of implications from that. But then I want to lay out what I refer to as his gift message. And that gift message is really broken down into four sentences. And those four sentences are, in my way of unfolding or unpacking, some of the key aspects of St. John Paul II's gift message. And the first of those sentences is all is gift, or you are a gift. Or you could say, I am a gift, right? If you want to make it personal, I'm a gift. The second sentence is, I'm a steward. I'm a steward of that gift that I am and those gifts that I've been given. And we'll explore that. And then I'm a gift. I'm a steward. I am to give myself as a gift. Okay, so that has to do now with mission. And then the last sentence is, I don't take myself too seriously. And that's the gift of hilaritas. So we'll get there. We'll get to hilaritas in the end. And in doing this unfolding the way that I am, I'm going to highlight two themes. The first theme is reverence, and the second theme is docility. So we'll get there. We're going to cover both of those themes of reverence and docility. Reverence we're going to cover in the first of those four sentences of St. John Paul II's gift message. It's all his gift. So as I said, that gift message, it comes in two parts. Right? The two parts, the two layers, if you will, of the truth that it's all a gift or I'm a gift. The first is that, guess what? All that you are and all that you have has come from God as a gift. You did not create yourself. You didn't cause your own existence. You didn't say one day, I want to exist, and you existed. No. The reality of your existing itself, the reality of your being here is, in fact, a gift. It's a gift from God. So that's one layer. That's the layer of the fact that you're created. The fact that you're created, It's all gift. You're a gift. But there's another layer, and this would be the more personal layer, the more personalized or subjective layer to John Paul II's gift message. And it's this, that as the person that you are, there's a gift quality to your life. And that gift quality to your life is such that there is a preciousness, a uniqueness. There's a way in which you will bring out into the open something of the truth and beauty and goodness of God, the way that no other person other than Jesus will bring out into the open in this world, in this moment in history. And there are other facets to it. Before I go any further, though, you might be saying to yourself, Tom, I don't see it. I don't agree. How am I so unique and precious and irrepeatable among all human beings, because there are 8 billion of me? Yeah, there are 8 billion plus human beings that walk this earth. And then take your name. My name is Tom. Well, how many Toms are there? I don't know, 30 million Toms in the world? Well, how am I unique? How am I different? Well, among the 30 million Toms that are walking this earth right now, among the 8 billion human beings and 4 billion men, I'm the only one that says, I, Tom, with my I, with my person. So there's where the uniqueness comes in. The uniqueness comes at the level of the person. That's the gift quality, that there's only one of you, and history will only produce one of you. You have never been seen before. And when you pass from this world, you will never be seen again. There's something irreplaceable. There's something that is absolutely precious about you just being you. And I used that string of attributes, that you will be a manifestation in this world in a way that is unique and irreplaceable of the beauty and truth and goodness of being a human being. You are. Because of your uniqueness. And that means that there's a dignity that you have. There is, again, I use that word precious. I think that's so important for you to know, to experience that sense of preciousness that you are, that the dignity that is yours. And this is where John Paul II will introduce this word, reverence. There is a reverence due to human life. That's more than just respect, right? Respect is sort of like, let's acknowledge the boundaries and let's acknowledge the limits and let's, you stay on your side, I'll stay on my side. To respect, again, not a bad thing, but reverence goes deeper, because reverence is associated with a quality of sacredness. To revere, to reverence, is associated with a divine quality, a divine aspect, an aspect that gets traced back to God. And the capacity to, now listen, this is important, to see so deeply into the world that is around me and the people that I encounter, I will pray for and seek to have the eyes of God himself. Jesus, give me your eyes to see the people that I'll meet today. Why? Because that gift quality that is associated with you being you is, guess what? It's associated with every other human being that you're going to meet today as well. Every single human being is a gift. Now, let's immediately say it out loud. There are many, many human beings that are doing a really good job of hiding their gift quality, of betraying their gift quality, of denying in word, attitude, and deed their gift quality. They're being harmful, hurtful. They're performing evil deeds. And so in doing that, they're betraying their true essence, the true depths of who God created them to be. They truly are a gift, but it's being covered over. It's being hidden and obscured and buried. It's our job as a husband to a wife, or spouses, right? Parents to children. It's our mission, more than a job, our vocation to see with the eyes of Christ. Because it's when we can see with the eyes of Christ that the gift quality of the people that are around us will become unveiled. It'll come out into the open. St. John Paul II, as a philosopher, was a phenomenologist. That was his method of reflecting on things philosophical, right? He was a Thomist, but he approached his study of St. Thomas with a methodology that was phenomenological. There was a contemporary of his named Dietrich von Hildebrand, and he also wrote in a phenomenological mode, or mode is probably a better way of saying it. And in one of his books called Fundamental Moral Attitudes, he identifies these six moral attitudes that are at the ground of the moral life. And the first one that is the basis of all the others, is reverence. And what he says is that reverence is our capacity to give space to what is showing up in front of us, the person, the situation, this aspect of God's creation, this particular moment in time. When we're able to have an attitude of reverence, we approach it with a sense of acknowledging that God is the creator of all, that God is the provider of this moment, and that the Lord has created this world with these features of truth and beauty and goodness, and this person in front of me as a gift. And if I have a reverent attitude, I end up having the space and capacity to make room for them to show up in that way, even despite themselves. Did you hear what I just said? That is so life-changing and game-changing in married life. And frankly, in human life, if you're going to be a follower of Christ, if you're going to be a faith-filled Catholic going out into the world, to be able to bring those eyes of Christ, where we have a reverence for the people, the situations, the moments, and the all the other aspects of God's creation, we will bring those eyes of loving care that makes room for others to show up in their gift quality. That is so powerful. Now, I'm going to give you a key to be able to do that. How do we do that when our kids are, again, doing a great job of hiding and obscuring their gift quality, or our spouses through their words, deeds, or attitudes? And the answer is, we have to pray. We have to pray in a way that's personal. We have to seek the face of Jesus. It's when we seek the face of Jesus and we have a sense in prayer that we are gazing upon his face, we're in his presence in a personal way, that he sees me and I look at him. I look at him and he looks at me, right? The old man in the back of the church, St. John Vianney, was speaking to, and it's like, what are you doing sitting in the church? I look at him, he looks at me. That's contemplative prayer. And I encourage you to do that if you can, and the presence of the Blessed Sacrament exposed. If you can't, in a church where there's a tabernacle, because it's the real presence of Jesus. If you can't, have the scriptures, read the scriptures and let the word of God be that door that's open to have that face-to-face encounter with Christ. But it's there that we're going to have our eyes, scales fall from them. The scales will fall from our eyes by looking into his in a prayerful way. And it's more than just a metaphor. It's a spiritual attitude Lord, I seek your face. It's your face that I seek. In heaven, we will behold him face to face. This devotion of the holy face is for me, it's a devotion for our time. Because it's a call to a personal, intimate, profound, gazing upon the face of Christ, contemplative union with Jesus, where we will come to see as we're seen. We'll come to realize who we are in his eyes. That's how you can pray. Lord, who am I in your eyes? You do that, and all of a sudden, what will be unveiled to you is the gift quality of your own self, of your own life. His loving gaze will heal you of the wounds where you have not been treated as a person who is a gift, where you have been put down, harshly treated, just verbally abused, having negativity coming at you in 100 forms. The Lord wants to wash that away. He wants to cleanse you, and he wants to deepen in you this reality that you're a gift. You're a gift. And the more deeply that that comes alive in you, the more deeply it'll cause to come to birth in you reverence. Reverence for others. Oftentimes this involves silence. I want that to be said out loud, that what I'm talking about doing is not typically, God can do things in any way that God wills, of course. But the typical way that the Lord will deepen this personal sense of one's gift quality is in a time of silent contemplation, in a time of silent prayer, where I'm not saying words and I'm not thinking things. So my mind is quieting and my body is still. And again, I don't have to be in the presence of the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. I can be gazing upon a crucifix or an icon or a work of art, a holy art, or just even with my eyes closed. Or honestly, it can be gazing upon any aspect of God's creation. But the simpler the setting, the less complicated setting, and the simpler the bodily posture and attitude, the more that we'll be disposed, and God's grace will be at work here, shepherding us into that face-to-face encounter. It'll change your life. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your parenting. It'll change how you see God. And it'll give rise to reverence. We will come to see the moments of our lives and the world in which we live with a divine glow, a supernatural sense that it's the Lord who's created this, created you, created this moment, and he's shepherding me through it in a way that I can acknowledge with great gratitude and praise the gift that God has made me and the gift he has given me in this moment. So today on the program, I'm sharing with you some insights drawn from St. John Paul II. I'm doing this as a way of acknowledging the gift that St. John Paul II was for my life and in my studies, and how that has also grounded me in my own sense of mission. Like, what's a message that I feel a sense of stewardship? There's the second phrase. It's not just that all is gift, and that includes me in my life, but I'm a steward. I'm a steward of this one life that I have to live. I'm a steward of the gifts that I've been given, the family that I've been given, the faith that I've been given, this moment in which to live, the place where I'm living, right? That's a stewardship is entrustment. Do you realize that when there's this dawning realization, that's all gift, that I've been entrusted. I've been entrusted with the gift that I am and with so many other gifts. And then the question becomes, do I acknowledge that sense of entrustment? Because if I'm a steward, then what am I not? I'm not the owner. I'm not the owner. And not the owner, not even of my own life, right? St. Paul's letter to the Romans, right? Your life is not your own. You've been purchased for the Lord. You belong to the Lord. You've been purchased at a price. You belong to God. And if you're Catholic and you go to Mass, every time that the bread and wine come up to the altar and they're presented to the priest, that bread and wine, they symbolize you. They represent you. They represent your gift, not just your gift of certain prayers and praise and thanks. No, it's your very life. It's all that you are, all that you have being put into the hands of the Lord as a gift. And that means now it's made into a sacrifice. Sacrifice means to make holy. And what's made holy as a sacrifice is taken out of ordinary usage and it's set apart for God's purposes. Did you hear that phrase? It's taken out of ordinary usage and it's set apart for the purposes of God. It belongs to God. And it belongs to God for the fulfillment of his purposes. And so I want you to hear that for your life. And brothers and sisters, you have been given the great gift of being baptized, being a person of faith, being a Catholic Christian disciple of Jesus. You've been given this incredible stewardship over the reality that you're Catholic. And that stewardship is that God has designed and assigned you for this moment. He's designed you for this moment. With your personality and your temperament and the family that you grow up in, the circumstances that are around you, God was not caught off guard. The Lord was not, whoa, what happened over here? Where did you come from? No. The hand of the Lord is upon you. And he has anointed you to bring good news to the poor. His spirit dwells within you. And we're going to come around to that gift of docility in just a minute. Before we talk about you being a gift out in the midst of your world, I want to focus a little bit more on the reality of stewardship. I am at a poignant moment in my life. I'm only 2 short weeks away from turning 60 years old. Whoa, I am old. And 60 kind of puts a seal on it in a whole new way. And I have been doing a lot of pondering and reflecting on the idea of shifting to this next stage in my life. And when I shift to this next stage in my life, there are certain factors that are emerging. So for instance, Carrie and I blessed for 30 years of marriage with 9 children. Well, the majority of those kids do not live at home. And so there's a stage that is passing. Now, it's not all passed yet. We still have 4 kids at home, 3 younger ones at home that are still in school. And we're going to have kids in school for at least another 5 or 6 years before they head off to college. So goodness, another 10 years to see those kids through college, if that's the path that they take. And in the meantime, there's going to be another stage emerging. Our oldest daughter is 25. We don't have any married kids yet. We just have 2 that have finished schooling. And all of a sudden, it's going to be like, wait a minute, there's going to be marriages, grandchildren, and what is that all about? And what does that mean for my work life? What does that mean for the level of like life expectancy that I have? I've watched more videos about life expectancy and how that impacts things like financial planning in the past 4 days than I have in my whole life. it's been life altering. That's worthy of a whole separate reflection, and I will probably in the next few days, maybe with Carrie on with me, to talk about this shifting in our own thinking and planning for what we want for our lives in the next few years. And so, like, transitioning out of full-time work, for instance, like, I still see myself doing church work and ministry work for as long as I can. But other work, I can see myself diminishing over time in accord with our financial picture and planning. And so, yeah, it's raising conversations and reflections and journaling, and getting Carrie and me to have some really crucial conversations about stewardship. Like, stewardship of my health. Wow. That's a big deal. And in a certain sense, if you've been following along with me in the past couple months, I walked the Camino, and a couple of the great fruits of that are that I began to eat in a much healthier fashion, lost a lot of weight, became a lot stronger because of the extensive hiking I was doing, and now has introduced a level of physical exercise and exertion that I haven't had in my life for a number of years. And guess what? I want all of that to continue and even advance. And so, stewardship, right? That reality of stewardship involves a stewardship of our health, of our well-being. How about a stewardship of our mental health, right? How many of us become anxious, worried, depressed, stirred up, angry because of the news that we consume, because of the information overload that comes from swiping and watching a video, swiping and listening to a podcast, swiping through video shorts, just one after the other, and getting bombarded with bad news, anxiety-ridden news, fear-inducing news. What's that doing to our mind? What's that doing to the chemicals in our brain? What's that doing to our outlook on life? That fundamental moral attitude, moral attitudes book that Dietrich von Hildebrand, I mentioned that the first of the fundamental moral attitudes is reverence. The second is fidelity or trustworthiness, faithfulness. I'm reliable. And here's the thing, the attitude that lives in us of I'm faithful and reliable, I'm trustworthy, I'm a good steward, is because it's traced back to and it's rooted in the trustworthiness of God. Isn't that beautiful? God's faithful, and so I can be faithful. God is trustworthy, and so I can be trustworthy. You can rely on God, and my own reliance on God can take such root in me that he can rely on me as well. And you can rely on me, those of you that are around me in my life. So the foundations of a moral life that radiates godliness is traced back to this gift message of St. John Paul II. It's all a gift. Brothers and sisters, it's all a gift. And you're a steward. And I'm a steward of this one life that I have to live. One final word about stewardship. Stewardship became one of the key themes of my hiking the Camino, that I hiked the Camino to experience a gracious disruption of parts of my life that were not lived in an ideal fashion, that were not lived with, give me different language, that were not lived with a robust stewardship. There were gaps there. There were gaps in the stewardship that I was living. And in a certain sense, it was indicative of, am I trusting in the Lord? Am I relying on the Lord? And can the Lord rely on me? God has called you to a stewardship. my hope and prayer is that you'll reflect on that and that you'll ask the Lord to give you the grace you need to be a good and faithful steward so that you'll come and enjoy the Master's reward.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Okay, so this leads then to the third of these statements of St. John Paul II. Right, it's all a gift, I'm a steward. And then the third is I'm to give myself as a gift. The Lord wants you to be fulfilled in your life, but here's the paradox. Here's the thing that sounds opposite, but it actually is true. Do you want to be fulfilled? Yeah. Do you want fulfillment in your life? Absolutely. Well, the path to being fulfilled is by striving to be emptied. What? The path to being poured into by the Lord to fill your life is through pouring yourself out. The path to being filled and fulfilled comes from you striving to be a gift, to giving of your time, your attention, your focus, your energy, your giftings, yes, your finances or your wealth, right? You think of stewardship as having those dimensions to it, but it's really about what St. John Paul II uses as his preferred definition of love. That love is donatio. Donatio, to give as a gift. Love is, even love is brought into the language of gift. Not only are you a gift and you're a stewardship, you're a steward of the gift you are, the gifts you have, and the people that are around you that have been given to you as gifts as well, that you're a steward of, you're also to give yourself as a gift, and that's love. Love is self-donation. Love is forging your life into a gift. Forging your life into a reality where you are giving of yourself freely, pouring yourself out for the sake of others. Ultimately, it's I'm living this way to glorify God and to fulfill my purpose here on earth. God's given me a mission, right? So that deepest level of stewardship is I'm called to be a steward of the person I am. I'm called to be a saint. And I'm to be that gift in its maximum display, to be a saint. And to be given as a gift, to pour my life out as a gift, the mission that is mine, that specific mission that is mine in my being poured out. And so that's the call. The call is to give my life as a gift, to pour my life out. Okay, that sounds rather general. And it is, because there are 1,000 ways of applying it, right? So the way it's going to apply in my life as a married man to Carrie and a father of these 9 kids is going to be different than how God calls you to be a gift. If you're a single widowed grandmother of 85, and if you're a student who's 15, think of 100 circumstances and settings, the way that you're called to give of yourself as a gift is going to differ on the one hand. On the other hand, there are some common features. And St. John Paul II points out a really important feature. Remember, I said that there are 2 insights that I want to highlight today to honor St. John Paul II. The first was what? Reverence. And there's reverence around this truth that you're a gift. And then all these things that are around you, there's that gift quality. And through reverence, you'll come to see and relate to those through that lens and that reality, that gift quality. What was the other word? It was docility. Docility isn't a commonly used word. I want to give you a couple ways of understanding docility. It's the willingness to be led. It's the willingness to be moved. It's receptivity. It's a radical capacity to be received, to receive, and to allow myself to be received into the situation or in another person's life. So docility, it's this willingness, this openness to be prompted forward, to be nudged into a direction. And St. John Paul II focuses on this as the first requirement of a missionary spirituality. The first requirement of those who are attempting to live out their mission in accord with God's call for their lives is complete docility to the Holy Spirit. That's powerful. The first requirement isn't the courage to proclaim the gospel, the willingness to die for the gospel. It's not having the gift of being articulate. It's not having the intelligence to know the truth in its fullness and to comprehend it well. No, it's complete willingness to be led. Willingness to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so that's the foundation. Am I willing, when I approach my day, to be led by the Holy Spirit? That's a rare question for a typical human being, a typical American, a typical husband and father, because I can spend so much of my time and my day and my life energy planning for and taking initiative, thinking about and being decisive in what I will do. It's about me determining my next step. That's common. That is often a very acceptable way of making forward progress in life. But when it comes to giving myself as a gift in accord with God's call for my life, that's then more about being surrendered, being open, being receptive to the prompting of the one who is going to have that role of taking initiative, have that role of pushing me in a direction. And it becomes my job to yield to the Holy Spirit, because that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit who lives within your heart, within the core of your being. It's going to prompt you, nudge you into a conversation, into a way of acting. And so all is gift. I'm a steward. I'm to give myself as a gift in accord with the promptings that come from the Holy Spirit, who is within. And so pray for the great gift of docility. Pray for that gift of being open and being willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. If you do that, your day will take on a more dramatic feature. I don't mean that it's going to be dramatized in some like high energy, emotional way with outbursts. And I don't mean that sense. What I mean is there's going to be many more moments of, okay, wait, is he going to follow the lead of the Spirit? Or is he going to deny what the Holy Spirit is doing? Am I going to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit and stop thinking those thoughts and start thinking these thoughts? Am I going to follow the prompting of the Spirit and stop and go visit that person? Or am I going to avoid that person? Am I going to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit and get off my smartphone and get into prayer? life will become more dramatic. There'll be more, many more moments where you sense there's something at stake here. I'm using discretion, discretio, I'm using discernment to become more sensitized to what the Holy Spirit is prompting in me right now. And so pray for that gift. But when you pray for it, you have to be ready to take action. Follow the prompting. And honestly, if you want to grow in your discernment, your capacity to recognize when that prompting is in fact from the Lord and when it's not, it only happens by taking action. You can't just read about it in a book. All right, there are certain guardrails, right? The Holy Spirit's not going to prompt you to commit a mortal sin. The Holy Spirit's not going to prompt you to do something that is evil, right? The Holy Spirit may prompt you to do something that is difficult for you. The Holy Spirit is going to prompt you to do things that will have you die to yourself. The Holy Spirit is going to prompt you to do hard things that aren't necessarily comfortable and pleasant. And so those aren't features of good discernment, where you just simply say, I'm only going to do what's comfortable and easy and attractive to me at a natural level. No, the Holy Spirit's going to do all kinds of prompting. And then the question is, do I obey? And honestly, this is where having a sensitized conscience, and the two best ways to have a sensitized conscience, the first is to go to confession, to cleanse the conscience, to make you more sensitized to the Lord's presence and to the presence of sin. And the second way is through prayer, right? Through prayer, you're going to come into contact with the voice of God. You read God's word, you're going to have his word sink into the core of your being. And honestly, as you begin to live your life, you're going to come to recognize, wait a minute, that's from God and that's not. And you'll start to act more in accord, hopefully, with the promptings that come from God. All right, let's move to the last one. And this one's going to be a lot shorter. Remember, I said there were four sentences honoring St. John Paul II today and his gift message in my life that I feel such a stewardship to bring out to the world. The first is that it's all a gift. You're a gift. I've talked about that. The second is that you're a steward of the gift that you are and the gifts you've been given. The third is that you are to give yourself as a gift. And there's so much more to say about that, but I just don't have time today to do that. But think of it as living a poured out life, living a generous life of self-giving. Well, the last sentence is, don't take yourself too seriously. And you can see actually the third leads into the fourth. Hilaritas is the virtue of not taking yourself too seriously. Hilarity, right? Don't you love that word, hilarity? There's a willingness to laugh. There's a sense of freedom in front of the impending danger, right? The paladin who were the vanguard of Charlemagne's army, riding into battle with their hoods back, singing loudly, that's hilaritas. That's hilaritas. It's this verve, it's this laughter, this freedom, this sense of I'm moving into the world, and I don't take myself too seriously here. I take seriously what the Lord has for me in my life. And so if I'm living a poured out life and people aren't noticing it and thanking me for it, and I'm not feeling very appreciated, well, we can get a little bit bitter. We can get upset and angry. Does anybody realize what I'm giving around here? I'm pouring myself out. And part of the great challenge in our life of faith is to realize that even our pouring out, even that pouring out when it's not acknowledged, is also God's gift to us. That's not easy to realize. That's not easy to always accept. That's hilarity. I don't have to do this work. I get to do this work. So I hope and pray that today, on this beautiful feast, or this time of honoring St. John Paul II, that it'll get you to stop and pause and ponder and wonder, you know, Lord, who are the gifts that you gave to me in terms of the people that have had an impact on my life, that helped me to come to a deeper sense of forging that mission, that sense of what I was made for in this world? So for me, St. John Paul II and his gift message in those unfolding four sentences. It's all a gift. You're a steward. You are called to give yourself as a gift. And don't take yourself too seriously. That was an amazing gift from God to me, and I'm very, very grateful for it, even as I'm grateful for you. If you're blessed by this, I do encourage you to share it, subscribe to the program, the podcast, the video. I would love to do more of this service to you in the future. God bless you, and join me tomorrow.